Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. This is the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, episode 70. Welcome back to the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. The compilation and documentation of project specifications may be one of the most important services we provide as small firm architects. And in my experience, many of us, especially us small firm residential architects, limit our specifications to a single sheet of general notes and product descriptions listed throughout the drawings. Before launching Five Cat Studio, I worked for a few other firms where I had the opportunity to develop much larger projects than the projects that Anne-Marie and I work on here at our firm now. Major school renovations, new office buildings, churches, synagogues, these projects included a specification manual and often organized in several different books about 2.5 inches thick. These things were huge. These documents were created by a professional specifications writer who was paid thousands of dollars to include every piece of information that a contractor or an owner or a lawyer might be looking for when the project is being constructed. Our clients cannot afford a specification writer, but the projects we do are no less important and we are no less liable for the work that we are proposing. So shouldn't our projects have complete specifications too? Today on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I am speaking with three gentlemen who may have some answers for us small firm residential architects. Complete specifications for the work that we do in a format that makes it simple to include with every project we do. Support for everything we do here at Entrepreneur Architect is provided by our platform sponsor, FreshBooks. The easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. You can get a free 30-day trial just by visiting freshbooks.com/architect. Today on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, we have three guests. Rand Selner joined us here back in episode 33, where we discussed the organization ARCH, which is A-R-C-H, Architects Creating Homes. Rand is an architect and the owner of Home Architects based in North Carolina, but works nationwide. Welcome back, Rand.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Okay. I also want to mention that we're recording this live video as well. So this is something unique for the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. Typically, we're only recording audio, but I'm going to share this video with Rand and his organization. So anyone who's listening to this can also find the video over probably on the Arch website.
We'll end up having it on the Arch Spec page just as soon as we have that file up.
Okay, great. And we also have Don Duffy, who is an architect and the owner of Don Duffy Architecture, based in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a place where I find near and dear to my heart. I have brothers and brothers-in-law living in Charlotte, and we just actually purchased a piece of property in Waxhaw, just south of Charlotte.
So, oh, fantastic.
We may call that home someday in the future. So we may be knocking on your door to
please do. To
design us a home. Oh, wait a minute. We could do that ourselves, but we'll send you some references. And we also have with us Kenny Guffey, who is a general contractor based in Tennessee. And they're all here today. I invited them to come speak about a new product that Arch is offering. It's just released. It's called Arch Spec. Before we get into the Arch Spec, what I'd like to do is just very briefly, typically we get into a little deeper origin stories of our guests, but because there's three of us, I've done that before and it sort of gets really, really long. So what I'd like to do is just sort of a really brief version, sort of the Twitter version of the of each of your backgrounds and where you've come from and how you got to where you are today. So maybe we'll start with Rand and then Don and then to Kenny.
Okay, thanks, Mark. I've been a licensed architect for 33 years. I've been involved in architecture for 48 years. And I'm licensed in five states throughout the United States, originally Florida and Tennessee, Washington State, North Carolina, South Carolina. And we specialize in the design of custom homes. It's always been a love of ours, and it's that passion that motivates what we do.
Okay, great. Don?
I'm Don Duffy. I've been licensed since 1984, graduate of UNC College of Architecture, and I spent my whole career in Charlotte and kind of grown with the Charlotte economy, and I've been focused on homes since about 1984, single family and remodels. We do a lot of remodels here. Okay. Licensed in three states, West Virginia, South Carolina, and North Carolina.
Great. And Kenny, how about you?
I've been a licensed general contractor since 1984. I actually started my business in 1977 in just residential construction, remodeling, renovations. But we've spent a lifetime of learning, and we're still doing that daily.
Okay, great. That was perfect. Just the right amount of time. Thank you. I like to get to know, you know, our guests a little bit more about of who we're talking to here before we get into our subject. So thank you for that. So Rand, let's get into Arch Spec. This is exciting. This is a new product that's been developed for residential architects to use on their projects when they're designing and building residential architecture. So can you tell us a little bit about the product, just sort of a general background on it?
Sure. Thanks very much. First and foremost, I'd like to give your listeners the ability to access the Arch website to see these things for themselves. The Arch website is located on the internet at www.archhomes.org. That's archhomes.org. Just one single H. Arch Homes. The Arch Spec system is on that website, and if you look for the Arch Store, it's got its own web. It's got its own web page on the Arch website, and so you can find it there. And just look on every page of the Arch website. Typically, on the right side, somewhere on the right column, there's a big gray button that says "Buy Arch Spec," so you can find it there. Okay. What Arch Spec is? Arch Spec is a computerized file containing a specification format and content for architects who design homes. There are also quite a few thumbnail details, how the product and items being specified are installed right there in the specifications.
So why create a new product like this? There's other products that do similar things, and there are a lot of residential architects that just handle general notes and just kind of put general notes on drawings. So why Arch Spec?
Well, prior to Arch Spec, the only specification systems with which architects were familiar were created for use with much larger commercial projects. And those other specification systems consist of thousands of pages of specifications. I should know, I think I had about 2,000 pages in the Jurassic Park specs, which I happen to be, I was the architect for about half of that in Orlando for Universal Studios a while back. And if you buy those other commercial specification systems, you can pay over $100 a section, resulting in having to spend tens of thousands of dollars on your specs over the years. The point is, no specification existed that was more compact and to the point for residential architects. And commercial specs have a great deal of redundant language in them, inflating their size. I mean, how many times do you have to specify that manufacturer's product need to be manufactured, handled, shipped, delivered, stored, and installed in accordance with manufacturer's written recommendations? Arch spec says that just once in Division 1. And do you really need to have specs formatted into three parts in each section, particularly for a house? That also breeds page bulk. And so we've eliminated a lot of these things that we believe are unnecessary for residential projects. And we just focus on what the product's characteristics, the make and model number, where they might typically be used in the projects, and how they're to be installed. And where warranties are appropriate, we indicate that as well. We also have the sections coordinated together. Art spec also indicates briefly what code sections, by chapter, verse, and page number, right there in the spec, relating to IRC and IECC. And while those might be modified, what we try to do is have it just be related to what's oriented for the particular project. That's why we created Art spec. Nothing really did exist for residential projects that really was easy to use.
So it sounds like it is easy to use. Can you talk about a little bit of, you know, functionally, how is it structured?
It's an AutoCAD 2015 LT, and I'd actually, if you don't mind, can I do a screen share?
Sure, we can try that.
All right,
I'll have to describe it a little bit for the podcast audience.
Oh, sure, I will. I'll describe exactly what we're doing. Let's see. We want to share this window.
Yeah, well, Rand's doing that. What I think is so great about this spec, I've spent, 21 years now in my own practice. Are you going over? There it goes.
Go ahead, Don. Keep talking about it.
I was just saying, we've been on and off specs for many years, and we've had specs as little as 4 pages and then 100 pages. And I haven't really found anything that is really comprehensive, and I think the ARC spec does that for the residential practice. And it's just a great tool to start conveying how we want products installed. Most specs that we see, if they're provided by the builder, by us, or bill of materials, you know, they just basically say, yeah, you want 2x4s, 2x6s. But they're very much lacking in the installation aspects that are so critical. Is it installed properly, and who's the judge? So every time we have a dispute, we're going to the spec to resolve it. When there is no spec, you're essentially into a this is how we've always done it conversation between the architect and the builder, or the homeowner and the builder. And the beauty of this spec is it's trying to bring some quality standards to bear. There are proper ways to install moldings, and there are wrong ways.
Right.
And without some guidance, it's just left up to the individual that is criticizing the work. Usually that's coming from the architectural side. So that's what's really good about this, and it's getting the builders to use it. That's always been, from my side, a struggle. I've been sharing this with builders here recently, and all of them that I've shared it with, especially the builders that we work with, are super excited about it. To actually have a product that will hold the other people they compete against that maybe aren't at their level accountable to try to performing at their level. If you hire a great builder, which has always been one of my focuses from day one, get the best builder we can afford, we don't need to tell them how to do a good job, but that's not always within our control. And we get some builders who aren't as skilled or as experienced or hiring less experienced people. This is really a great way to describe to them, this is what we want and this is the standard we want it built to, and price it accordingly. I've gotten real excited about this spec.
Yeah, it sounds great. Also, Rand is sharing some of it on the screen. So Anybody who's listening can go to the video over at archhomes.org and check the video. But Rand, do you want to kind of briefly describe what you're showing on the screen?
Sure. While Dom is talking, I was just going through a whole, quite a few chunks of the spec. This is the actual product right here. This is what you buy when you buy ArchSpec.
And it's within AutoCAD 15?
Yeah, AutoCAD 15 LT.
LT, and, okay. Does it work in the full version as well?
I'm sure it will. This is the Arch Notes. That's an ancillary component of it that has various notes that you can use on your drawings, because a lot of people have trouble fitting all the words that they'd like to have, and so they want to have a note system, and this uses a traditional CSI section that really helps do that. And there's instructions also here, and there's not very many instructions because it's pretty much, I mean, if you know how to operate AutoCAD, which most architects do, you already know how to operate ArchSpec. So if you want to move a section around, there's a section here. And even better than that, well, first of all, it's got all the traditional sections that you'd expect. What do I mean by traditional? Well, we all know architects that are following anything in CSI, and we mean Construction Specifications Institute, not the crime show on TV, that there traditionally have been about 16 sections to specifications. Okay, and we all know what those are by heart. And Kenny and his tradesmen know what those sections are by heart. That division 16 is electrical. Division 15 is broken into two components with a P for plumbing and H for HVAC. Now, we all know that CSI has decided that because of all the sections that finishes division 9 and several other sections, might want to splinter into, and I'm not faulting their thought process there. I think they're probably correct. The problem is that, do you know anybody, Mark, that can actually cite verbatim all those 50 new sections?
Right. No. No.
Okay. See, but I bet I could sit you down in front of a spelling bee, and I could say, okay, your life depends on telling me what the 16 sections are traditionally. I bet you'd know those, wouldn't you?
If you put me on the spot, I might have a problem with them, but I'd probably get to them eventually.
Yeah, see? So that's our point. So we're trying to use something that's been out there for decades, which is the traditional CSI organization. So this is organized in that manner, so that when we have a note that is an 8 note on the drawings, and the reason I'm telling you this is, you see this brown number here, this 8210-110, and it says interior wood doors?
Yes.
Okay. You can actually take that note, and you can put it on your documents. And Kenny knows what I'm talking about, because he's working on documents right now that have notes like that on them. And the point is, there's been a big disconnect between what you got in the specifications and what you've got on the drawings. And what ArchSpec is trying to do is to try and mend that rift that has traditionally existed between a spec book,
right,
and drawings. And for that reason, we created it in AutoCAD so that it's part of the drawings. It's an A15 series, so that it's towards the end of the set. And if some architect wants to call it a different series, he's more than welcome to. But the idea is that it's part of the set. And Kenny, why don't you tell us why it's so important to have specs as a part of the set, and why a spec book may not be the best idea?
Well, you want to make sure, first of all, that everything is noted on there. And with the plans of my experience with what we've had here, it leaves nothing to question. When you start looking through the print, by being able to coordinate the numbers to the specifications or any other notes, it works great. So, with my subs, I would just email the documents, and they would have very few questions back to me because everything is there. And if there was a large spec book, that's another document to keep up with. But it's worked real well for us. I'm doing my first project now with home architects in Sevierville, And of course, you know, we're learning the system. I've learned a lot about it, but I'll be honest, I've still got a long way to go. But I can see that when we're coming up to an install item, you can look it up. Once you get used to the system, it works great, and it's been a good process for our company. Not only to simplify things, but as a GC, you know, my price is on the line. It's you know, we miss something. If I miss something, those profit margins are going to go away. And this way, every subcontractor has every note that's on there. I've had a couple to call, like my electrician, you know, and he had been through it. And, you know, just yesterday we were talking about the size of service on this particular job. So just in a couple of minutes, he and I together, you know, was able to get a solution to that. So my experience with it has been great. You know, just like the heat and air guy, you know, he knows number 15. If you see 15 on any of the pages, you know what section, who that refers to. And with 15P, the plumber doesn't have to go looking. And it works real well for me.
Yeah. So what I'm seeing on the screen here is they're essentially sheets, AutoCAD sheets set up like your drawing sheets, and they're complete with specification notes. So instead of a big manual, which many residential architects don't like using because they become paperweights on the job site, many of us put our notes.
Say paperweights not on the job site. We never know where the manual is.
Exactly.
Yeah, like what specs?
Right. And so many of us have stopped doing that and put our notes right on the drawings. Let's take a quick break to thank FreshBooks for support as a platform sponsor. As a platform sponsor, FreshBooks has provided funding and support for our mission to become an influential force in the profession of architecture. They recognize the need for small firms to build better businesses in order to be better architects. And we small firm architects are very busy people. We have so much to do and not enough time to do it. Sound familiar? Over the past few weeks, I've been looking very closely at all of my systems and finding new ways to get things done more efficiently. I have automated and delegated the things that I don't need to do. I've physically upgraded my equipment. My iMac now has more RAM so it can think faster and I can get things done in less time. And my Verizon Fios guy, my service rep, just left my studio just before I started recording this, and he installed a new Cat 5 and a new router and a new internet system that has internet speed that's 10 times faster than it used to be. Each little bit matters. Each minute adds up to many minutes and will eventually add up to hours of my time that I can use to get things done and focus on the things that matter most. And FreshBooks is part of all of this time savings as well. It downloads my expenses automatically so I can see what I'm spending at any time. Previously, I was inputting all that information manually, which would take up almost an hour. My invoices are prepared quickly and sent by email, saving me time on printing and preparing envelopes. Bottom line, FreshBooks is saving me time and money. For more information and access to a free 30-day trial for FreshBooks, go to freshbooks.com/architect. And in the How Did You Hear Us About It section, put in Entree Architect so they know that I sent you over there so they continue supporting Entrepreneur Architect. freshbooks.com/architect. So essentially what Arch spec is an advanced complete version of that idea. So taking your notes that's what we've done over the years. We've developed our own system of specification notes that we have a page of notes that we use on every job. This is taking that to the next level where everything is specified out and complete and on its own sheet. And it's how many pages is a typical project?
Okay, that's a very good question. I'm really glad you asked that. First of all, the fact that it comes with about 14 sheets, and these are 24 by 36 inch sheets with about 10 point type, each sheet is worth about 7, 8.5 by 11 typed pages of text. But a lot of people say, oh, gee, I don't want to have 14 sheets of specs. Well, you know, you don't have to. That's the whole file. So we recently did a project that had it was an interior renovation only of a kitchen, and it had a pantry and a laundry and a bar, and that ended up being four sheets of specs, which is really not that big.
Yeah, especially when they're all done and ready to go. You just edit them and print.
Exactly. And what for the benefit of your audience that can see the images here on your screen, you see the red text and the green text. The green text is intended to pretty much be on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And the red text, particularly surrounded with a red rectangle, those are things that each architect probably wants to make sure they edit. Now, the first time you get Arch spec, you should go through every single word for everything and make sure that it's set up to your practice. But the point is that once you've done that, there's a lot of boilerplate in specs that you need to have there and make sure things are done properly, but then you can just focus on certain things. For instance, here's something about precast concrete, and this is in red. It said each side of CMU openings at the main fireplace and the hearth room and master bedroom, this means there are two precast lintels on the project. Okay, your project might be different than that. It probably will be. So you need to make sure you focus on those things that are in red surrounded with a red rectangle. So it's an intelligent specification system, because you can look at a sheet like this and say, oh, the things I need to focus on are here, 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 here.
Right, everything that's red is needs to be edited. And most of it's green, just for the people.
That's right.
That's what we're going through is taking, on the first use of this, I'm having to go through it and make it RSpec.
Right.
In which we have converted to ArchiCAD from AutoCAD this year, and I've brought this into the ArchiCAD software. And so far, it seems to be pretty editable. And so where I take a different approach on material selections or products, we're in the process of editing this to, for instance, for doors, I like true style doors. So we're going to convert the door section for interior doors to true style doors over, say, Gelbin doors. We'll look at Gelbin as an alternative, but our base spec is going to be true style. So the beauty of this is we can go in and make it ours.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's set up one way, but we got to convert it to our favorite window product, our favorite door product, our favorite paint product, and then things that we have as alternates. So once we get it set up, the green, yellow, brown will still apply, red, but the green text will be more my version than right. The base version. And so it's a great editing tool to make it specific to your taste, your practice, your region of the country, wherever you are.
And it's all set up as DWG files. So any product, you had mentioned that you're using ArchiCAD, any product that can read a DWG file, this should work on. So
yeah, I brought it in as a Word file. I just highlight a section. Like each of those paragraphs is a section. You can click on it and erase it completely, or you could go in and edit it. Mm-hmm. Just start, you know, hit your, like a Word document, put my cursor where I want to start typing and start typing.
Right. Excellent.
And then you can adjust the paragraphs. If I'm adding three sentences, you know, that may be more section than it's allowed, I've got to kind of paginate each section below it. It's not pushing all the text onto the next page. You have to go in and make sure your rectangular areas, its right. Drawing blocks are consistent.
Yeah. Okay. I love the way it looks. It looks really simple. I love how complete it is. Maybe Rand, do you want to put the put our videos back up and turn off the screen share?
Yes, sir.
And maybe we can talk about how the licensing is set up and maybe talk about pricing a little bit so people can understand how that works.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The licensing couldn't be simpler. It's unlimited. We don't sell complicated subscriptions and things. The main reason that Arch exists, Architects Creating Homes, as a nationwide society, we're here to help licensed architects who practice residential architecture. And so anything we can do in that regard, within reason, we're going to do. So unlike subscription specification systems, once you buy our Arch spec, your license to use it however you wish, as many times as you wish, at a single company, for however many projects that you wish. And Now, we're going to be updating it, and we are updating it weekly. And so as it gets updated, if you want to buy those updates, you can. And we actually provide for the first year the updates at no additional cost. And then for the first 3 years, there's a nominal charge for updating. But then after 3 years, if you want the newest version, you'll have to buy it again, but at a discounted cost. So we have a lot of incentives there for a reasonable system. The cost is $2,750 for non-members, okay. And it's $1,500 for Arch members. Now, to join Arch is $159. What conclusions would you reach from that?
It looks like you're going to have a whole bunch of new members.
That's the idea.
Right, so it's a lot less expensive to become a member and then purchase it as a member.
Well, just recently, like last year, I paid a spec. We did a office upfit, about 4,000 square foot shell, corporate headquarters moving in to some raw space. So we did the tenant upfit for that. The spec on that was about $3,500 to a commercial spec writer.
Okay, make sure you understand what Don's talking about. He's not talking about using Arch spec for that.
No, we paid a professional commercial spec writer to write our spec. It was about $3,500. Previously in the past, I've hired a spec writer who was trying to write a residential spec and tried to make a go of it. And he was usually between $2,000 and $2,800 per job to do the spec. And he was at a comparable level to this. But every job was $2,500. And depending on the fees on the job, that's architect provided product, but we were spending our money to go hire him to do it. So we'd have to make the call, did this job merit that level of spec? And that, now with ArchiSpec, he's out of a job, unfortunately. But he also found out he wasn't being hired enough to make a living at it. That in the residential practice, it's just hard to pay someone $2,500 to do what maybe you're supposed to be doing as the architect. And with ArchiSpec, I think that's going to allow us to kind of really be at that level without having to go out and hire the professional spec writer. That's why I'm so excited about it.
There's a real important point that I know many of your listeners are probably thinking. Mark, I wonder if you'd allow me to address why any architect designing a home might want to actually include specs. May I address that?
Yep, I was going to ask that. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Some sole proprietors and other small practitioners might say, hey, I don't use specs. I let the contractor choose those. Really? Do you really want your liability and the quality of the project to be in the hands of someone other than your firm? Specs are not just a bunch of words. Specs control the quality of the materials, what they are, their warranties, how they're installed, and the majority of their physical characteristics, including water tightness and energy performance. I, for one, wouldn't want to totally have that in the hands of anyone but the firm that's designing it, my architectural firm. I'll bet every client that hires every architect in our country believes that their architect is both drawing and specifying their product, their project. My bet is that they would be horrified to know that is often not the case. And not having specifications can lead to not only problems but lawsuits. For instance, we know of at least one project where the lawsuit had to do with construction tolerances. Didn't happen with our particular firm, but it had to do with how flat the floors were required to be versus what was built and how plumb the walls had to be. The client had their own made-up level of quality standard. Unfortunately, it wasn't declared because there were no specs. Now, just for this particular example, ArchSpec does have a Division 1 0-1989 tolerances section that describes exactly how level and how straight and plumb everything needs to be. So the majority of that lawsuit could have been avoided by providing our spec with this section. And some clients just have unreasonable expectations and things happen on a job site. It's a very complex thing that we all do. By declaring what's being used and the results of those installations, that should help avoid these types of nuisance challenges and ensure that your project doesn't have these issues. A lot of architects say, that'll never happen to me. Are you bulletproof?
Yeah,
really?
It can happen to anybody. It and so it's not only a product that helps get the specs there so the project gets built properly, but it actually protects the architect that when those cases do come up, and I could tell you from experience, the strangest things can arise and be thrown at the architect for liability. So having that specification and having it complete so you can go back to your specifications and be protected by it, is that alone is worth having that.
Well, and it's a protection also for the client and also, believe it or not, for the builder. So friends of ours like Kenny Guppy there, there's nobody that can make any unreasonable expectation of what, you know, they're doing. It in some respects actually helps protect both the client and the contractor. For instance, things can happen with subcontractors, and maybe they're not living up to what they're supposed to be doing, and they say, "Well, I'm not required to do that." And Kenny could say, "You know what? Yes, you are." And he can point to something in the specs and say, "See, you're supposed to be doing that, and you bid it according to that, so I expect you to do that, sir."
Right. That's correct.
That's like winning the argument. I had a dispute recently about how level a wall should be. Plumb is the scribe mold, and I was rejecting the wall. And the builder's like, "This is what we always do. The wall's within my bubble." It's like, well, you take that bubble within your two little lines for 10 feet, you're out a half inch from being plumb. It's unacceptable. And he goes like, well, you didn't tell me what a standard of tolerance is. I'm like, well, it's visually out of level. I don't care if it's in the bubble or not. So here we are in a dispute. He goes, well, I'm not going to fix it. Or do you want to pay to fix it? Does it bother you enough as the architect? So the spec is it's the judge and jury. If you agree for plans and spec, which Kenny, you might comment, every contract between homeowner and builder usually says per plans and specs.
That's correct.
You're going to go to the spec to say, what was the standard of care? And all we're doing, and I think the beauty of a spec, is to say, write it down. If you have a standard of care, a tolerance, and an expected performance level, what is it? Write it on a piece of paper. And we ask the builders, when we bid a job, you read the spec and you tell me, is there anything in this document that you intend not to do? And most of the time they come back and they say, no, it's everything we're going to do. Or they'll say, yeah, there's six things I found in here that I do not intend to do. Well, let's talk about them.
Right.
And then you change the spec if you agree, or you tell them to hold the line.
Yeah.
And it's a great document to get both builder, homeowner, and the architect on the same page so everybody's aligned their expectations. Because homeowners, their expectations tend to come from I don't know where, but usually when they discover something they're not happy with. And then the only person that's hurt is the builder and then the architect.
I would hate to be the architect on a job, I don't care what it is, small commercial, high rise, or a home, and end up in some situation in front of a board of architecture or in front of a judge and jury, and have the opposing side say something like, okay, let's look at the plans and specs and see what's going on here. And then have to say sheepishly, well, you know, we don't have any specs. And then have the judge frown, look over me and say, you don't have any specs. You're an architect. I wouldn't want to be that person, would you?
Right. So Kenny, from a contractor's point of view, what is your experience? Because you're building a house right now using ArcSpec. So what's your experience with the product?
Well, I haven't found anything that's left untouched or unknown with this system. Everything is there. And when my subs quoted this, then they quote according to plans and specifications. So, you know, I've had a couple of them, had missed a couple things, and but go back and look, and yes, it's right there. But you know, it's worked really well. Of course, you know, I've got a long way to go to just be totally perfect at it. But I tell you, my time spent with the prints, and I've spent a lot of time with it in you know, pre-bid and working with home architects, then I have learned so much about it. And it's been great. It's a good system. And, you know, Rand was talking a while ago about, you know, you'd hate to be in front of a judge and say, well, you know, you're an architect, no specs. Well, most of the projects that residential builders build by, at least, I guess it depends on what price range you're in, I mean, I'm used to building with minimal specifications, okay? But it is virtually impossible to put that thing together and everybody be on the same page. And I've been at it a number of years, and I've not found a way to perfect that. This comes as close as anything to leaving to not leaving anything out. So I mean, it's all there. You when you look for it and find it, then it's clear. So it will cut down on problems, especially with subcontractors and general contractors. And then, you know, it should help subs bottom line. It would help as a GC, help the bottom line for everybody to know what they're going into up front. And this arch spec does that. So I've been impressed with it.
So, Kenny, we just had a bid in Charlotte. I was talking to a builder who's bidding a job, and he's bidding against a competitor. And we were talking about installation of trim. And he said, well, that's interesting, because I just, through kind of conversation with my trim guy, who's bidding the job to all three builders, same trim guy. This one builder, Philip says, you know, Don, we scarf our in-between joints, and we back cut our corner joints, and length less than 12 feet is one piece of wood. We don't piece a wall. He's like, I know for a fact that the builder I was competing against instructed the trim guy, the same person, to install the trim with just miters, butt joints. And if there was a 8-foot piece and a 4-foot piece, that's an okay, you know, use up the wood. Don't throw away an 8-foot piece to go put in a 12-foot piece. So it moved his the installation of the trim $5,000. So the question came up in reviewing the bid documents, why are you $5,000 cheaper than the other guy, and it's the same Mr. Smith trim installer. And it, as it turned out, without specs, that it was the same installer, but there were two different standards of installation that was about a 10% variance on labor. And it was a great, and this builder actually provides his own specs when none are provided, to say, you know, don't, you got to look at the installation. That's happened now three times in current work, where we know that the same sub is being instructed by different builders to install work in different ways to move the number down. So you can say, I'm using the best trim guy, but then you're telling him not to do the best work, where another builder that's at a higher level is telling him, hire the best guy and do the best work. So very deceitful business practices are shrewd on the part of the builder to win on price when he's just selling less work for less money. Wish everybody could have the opportunity to do that, or give him the opportunity to put it in at a better level. And that's where the spec is critical to representing your client, to make sure they're getting what they pay for. And without it, you have no, there's no accountability other than an argument.
Right.
It's a day, it's a walk in the park.
Exactly. So I think that really gives us a great idea of arch spec. I think we talked quite a bit about why we should have our specs in the first place. I think that's a very important part of this conversation we're having here today. Is there, Rand, is there anything before we go, anything that you want to share that we haven't covered?
Yeah, there's just one thing. I'll try to do it verbally. I probably should do a screen share, but Arch Notes is an ancillary module that's actually comes within the same file, and the Arch Notes bridges between Arch Spec and drawings. The Arch Notes is a combination of two kind of drawing notes, numbered drawing notes. And I've noticed on the AIA and different places lately, there's been discussion about drawing notes. As a matter of fact, Don Duffy responded to some of those questions on some of those websites. The Arch Notes allow for two kinds of notes. One is an organic note that has a CSI prefix from the 16 division. So a 5 note would have to do with metals, an 8 note would have to do with doors and windows, a 3 note has to do with concrete. So there's that discipline that you provide to the notes, and they're provided in one central location, the A14 series. And we usually end up with 1 to 2 sheets of notes on that. But it also includes the paragraph numbers, the paragraph numbers in the specs. The specifications in Arch Spec the paragraph numbers, the paragraphs are numbered. This sounds like a little teeny thing. It's not. It's huge. And by numbering the paragraphs and using the CSI format, a paragraph number like 15H-156, obviously you know you're in a heating and air conditioning. You're in an HVAC note, and you can find that paragraph right in the spec specifically. So it's not just a vague kind of note. It's very specific, and it links directly the drawings and the specifications and other notes. Because if you're like us, if you try to describe things on the drawings, you end up with such a clutter of notes. You ever had that, Kenny? Where you had such a clutter of notes on the drawing, you can't even hardly see the graphics on the
drawing?
That's
correct, yes.
So the reason we developed that for commercial projects decades ago and have worked with other Arch members to evolve it is so you've got a nice, neat note column, and you've got some short notes that at least in general refer to the area that you're trying to talk about. So Arch Spec is more than just a specification system. It links number drawing notes with the drawings with the specs. So it's much more than just words on a piece of paper.
Well, it sounds complete. I would invite my listeners to check out archhomes.org. It's archhomes.org, archhomes.org. And you can find a link there. I'll also have a link in the show notes for this episode. It's entrearchitect.com/episode70. And thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with me here today.
Mark, thank you.
Glad to be here. Glad to be a part of this conversation here today.
You're very welcome.
And thanks, Mark.
Have a great day.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye. Thank you. You too.
Bye now.
If you like this episode, please go to iTunes and leave me a review, because this is how you may help me spread the word about Entrepreneur Architect and our mission to become an influential force in this profession. Go do it right now. EntreArchitect.com/iTunes, or in iTunes, just search for Entrepreneur Architect and you'll find us. I haven't gotten too many reviews in the last few weeks, guys. I need your help. I got quite a few. I have over 70 now, but I really, really need your help in order to get more. So if you haven't reviewed the show, please go over to iTunes and leave a review. I'd appreciate it. That's a wrap on today's show. Show notes and a direct link to download this episode may be found at entrearchitect.com/episode70. Before we go, quote of the week. I like this one because this is a lot like my profit then art quote that I say all the time. This one's by Andy Warhol, the world famous artist. His quote is, "Making money is art, and working is art, and good business is the best art." Andy Warhol. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. I will see you next week. Thank you very much for listening.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.